Hello, my friends, and welcome to our podcast for the 3rd of January. It's the Deeper Daily Podcast with your host, myself, Paul White. This is a Sunday, and that means there are two audio drops today. So go check out our sermon, full-length sermon from a recent meeting in Georgia, titled, We Are All in This Together. And we will post a sermon on Wednesdays as well this year as we continue our Tuesday night meetings in Georgia. We post those sometime Wednesday morning, midday on Wednesday Eastern Time here in the United States. And you can walk through the scriptures with us as we journey together. Today, we are continuing our journey in the Old Testament stories, passages, looking at them through New Covenant lenses. I have arrived at the famous 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, a chapter that, for the most part, is ignored by our Jewish friends. And I'm not really being too harsh with the word ignored. It literally is never read in the weekly Sabbath readings of our Jewish friends in their synagogues. You can look it up online. I mean, you can find the sabbatical or Sabbath readings that are scheduled for every Jew. And there's never, ever a reading from Isaiah 53. In fact, it stops prior to Isaiah 52, verse 13. And then there is no readings until Isaiah 54. That 13th verse of 52 is where it introduces that servant, that sin-bearing servant. The visage is marred, and he startles the nations and causes kings to shut their mouth. And then where we are focusing today, Isaiah 53, Verse 1, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, etc., etc. And we're going to get into these verses over the next few days. And yes, it'll take us a few days to get through Isaiah 53. It's such a popular passage. But I am fascinated at how it is ignored by Orthodox Judaism, and I can't help but believe it's ignored because it's too pointed about Jesus. The picture of Christ on the cross, when you read Isaiah 53, becomes one of the most apparent, clearly apparent things you'll ever read in the entire Bible. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. It's so Jesus on the cross, it's hard to miss. Well, why then does Judaism miss it? Well, I like what I heard one scholar say, you can't see what you don't look at. So if you never put this passage in your reading, then you're never confronted with what it means. Now, there are, to be fair, Jewish interpretations of Isaiah 52, 12, 13 through the entire 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And how it has been explained by some interpreters is that for the last 1,000 years or so, the servant in this passage is the nation of Israel, and that her national suffering has been atoning for the sins of all the other nations of the world. Well, the problem with interpreting it that way is if you truly believed that, you wouldn't leave this passage out in your reading. You would include it in your reading because it would speak volumes as to the suffering of national Israel. It would be hopeful. It would be rewarding. And you wouldn't want to avoid it. You'd want to talk about it. So I think that's been a marginal interpretation of this passage by some in Judaism to try and explain to Christians who this is in Isaiah 53 other than Jesus. Yet they don't believe it enough to teach it that way or to read it that way in front of their congregations because, well, maybe if you stared at it, you might start to believe it was Jesus. This is a powerful passage, one that I think Judaism remains blinded to in some ways because of what the Apostle Paul talked about, a blindness that had been placed over the eyes of Israel. That, and when they read Moses, there is, according to 2 Corinthians 3, a veil over their heart. And I believe that that veil exists when they see things like Isaiah chapter 53. For you and I, as believers in Christ, Isaiah 53 stands as a monumental prophecy of the Jesus that was to come in Isaiah's day, but has come for you and I. And we see it as the ultimate sacrificial chapter. We get to see all of our pains and our sins and our problems on Jesus. Let's start in verse 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? This passage is not quoted in the New Testament until the book of John. And I say until John, you might say, well, that's the fourth book of the New Testament. Well, probably not. It's fourth in the way it was laid out, but it certainly wasn't the fourth book written. Probably one of the last books written. And John, in John 12:37, although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? So John's interpretation of this verse is that even though Jesus did things in front of them that should make them believe, no one believed the report of Jesus. And that's his interpretation, and that's the only New Testament understanding we get of this passage. Verse 2 of Isaiah 53, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Some of these words are a little lost in translation. Really, he grows up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground, simply, to me, speaks of the innocence and of Jesus and how dependent he is on his Father. He has no form or comeliness. No, he's not stately. He has no splendor. And when we see him, there is no appearance that we should desire him. And I do believe that Isaiah 53:2 is describing a Jesus who in his humanity didn't look much different than the other humans on the earth. I don't think Jesus stood out in a crowd as an example of physical beauty. I think that that's part of the prophecy, is to say, you won't be drawn to him because he just looks better than everybody else. There'll be something else about him. In fact, he'll be the opposite, which we'll find out in that next verse. We'll keep working through this great chapter tomorrow. We'll see you then. God bless.